Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Sewn Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Athasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And every other Saturday, join Grey Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds as he brings you bad company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Join Victoria tonight as she brings you the hearts of LMP. And Tuesday morning, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron and Cap as the After Midnight Bombers. Fridays are split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Athasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for our shows. Call in to read your poems. Hang for the fun. And you can even make a SoundCloud, and we'll air that for you as well, so we can hear in your voice. Good evening, Pam.
Hello, Rex. How's it going?
All right.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so great choice for a group to feature tonight, CSNY. So tell us a little bit about them.
Well, let's see. They met in the summer of 68. David Crosby had just gotten tossed out of the Byrds. Graham Nash was pretty much getting tossed out of the Hollies. That would come in December of that year. And Stephen Stills, it was just seeing the demise of his band, Buffalo Springfield. So they had they were out in California, Topanga Canyon way, where all the good things were happening back in the day. Graham Nash moved over here from England, and they got together out in L.A. And, see, I think as Graham Nash puts it, he went to Peter Tork's house one night, spent some time with him. Later on in the week or the week after that, they went over to Joni Mitchell's or Mama Cass's house, where David and Stephen were prompted into singing a song. So they sung it up twice, and according to the story, Graham had learned the lyrics and added a third harmonizing vocal to lead off the third time they ran through the song. So after that, they decided to put their minds together. Come early 69, they had a record deal with Atlantic. By May, they put out their first album. And then they were looking for musicians to back them up for the current road trip that was being planned. But somebody made a suggestion on Neil Young, who had played with Stephen Stills in Buffalo Springfield. So he was added in. Plus complimenting piece of drums, keyboards, and such. And they started out. Their second gig was actually August 18th, early morning hours, at Woodstock.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was like only their second time being live as CSNY, right? And was that Woodstock?
Yeah, they were Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young at Woodstock. They started out as Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That was, they put that first album out as a studio album.
Right.
And when they invited Neil Young to come on, that was right after the album had already gotten out. They decided they needed to get together a touring group. So he was added on as the fourth partner because of their his voice fit their background of harmonizing voices too. So that worked out pretty well. And
right,
they put a couple of albums out together. Yeah, because of attitudes, egos, and such. It didn't last very long, and they've come back together on and off again over the last 40 years.
Right. I think, wasn't their last time together like 2015? I believe I read.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And And their one album, Deja Vu, was it just recently had its 50th anniversary?
Yeah, that would be the first, their second album, but that would be the first album of CSNY.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
And funny thing is, the first album they put out as CSN, it featured a song that Graham Nash had brought with him because the Hollies had turned it down. And it actually hit, I think, number 20 on the chart. It was one of two singles on the album that actually charted. That was the Marrakesh Express. Stephen Stills is... Judy Blue Eyes, actually, I think, topped out at number 5.
I remember those songs. Those are good ones. They actually have a lot of good songs. Their voices really worked well together. Very talented group. It is, as you say, though, oftentimes, egos, do get in the way. So, it is unfortunate, but they were definitely a huge influence on American rock music.
Yeah, it's funny. The two foreigners actually were the ones doing the protest song, so to speak.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, I wanted to let you know I have brought Cal on to join us. So
all
welcome,
right.
Cal. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, it's been a while. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Cal.
Doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in there. Been having some issues, but it's okay. I'll get back into it soon.
Absolutely. Well, it's really good to hear from you.
Good to be here.
It's what?
It's good to be here.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. A little cold down here.
What was that you were saying, Rex? Something about it being cold in South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah,
snow on the ground.
Put some clothes
25,
on.
So it's cold.
Well, okay, that's cold for that area. I'll give you that. And all right, what do you say, Rex? Shall we get this ball rolling?
Kicking in.
All right, we've got a few carryovers that we'll dig into first before moving on to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And up first we have Remembrance of a Future's Past by Robert J. Teese. And go ahead, Rex, give that a read for us, please.
Remembrance of a Future's Past by Robert J. Teese. The future gives a splendid speech of promising new lovers in reach, yet nothing of the sorrows of histories we have declined to memorize or bear in mind. We turn the page from yesterday, ignoring what it had to say, because it can sound out of date, and not another must relate. The wisdom ages may impart, but this is where our follies start. Here prospects holler, look ahead, beyond the elder and the dead, then we'll pursue a further year, which often comes across as near, when we would prosper from the past, collect its lessons, learn, and fast. The future's roots grew long ago before we knew how to look behind and fathom how all moments flow outside of time if we could find. To look back is to have the chance to see tomorrow and advance. End point. All right, Pam, what you got?
Ooh, I like this one. I like how it... Yeah, there's really just that kind of sense of warning of not learning from the past. A great opening. The future gives a splendid speech of promising tomorrows, discoveries, new loves, and reach, and nothing of the sorrows. It kind of reminds me of the kind of speeches that politicians make. I really like this all with you. I also really like hear prospects holler, look ahead beyond the other and the dead, and we'll pursue it for the year, which often comes across as near. I kind of like how that gives food for thought and the idea of looking past what has already been and has not worked. There's this feeling of hope, but there's also, as I say, a feeling of warning, of just, you know, people need to learn from the past. Anyway, it's great rhyme and flow. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Kel, how about you?
I agree. We're always being told, especially by politicians and such, that, you know, look to the future. Look to the future. Don't worry about what's gone behind. You know, and even, you know, my friends and family and stuff tell me the same thing. You got to look forward instead of constantly looking back. Well, you know, not always easy to do, you know, and you learn from things that have happened in the past. And, you know, there's not always a need to always look ahead. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but sometimes you have to look back to find out, to learn from what you have already done and what you have already experienced and what our countries have already been through, so we don't do it again. So this is a very articulate and philosophical piece. I really enjoyed it. I like hear prospects holler, look ahead beyond the elder and the dead, then we'll pursue a further year, which often comes across as near, when we would prosper from the past, collect its lessons, learn, and fast. I mean, it's just a piece.
Absolutely. A nice, eloquent nature to the voice itself, even though it does hit on that idea of we should always remember the past, because those who do not remember the past are those that will repeat the past, because that's where lies our biggest mistakes and those things that get overlooked. And so it hits on that, but doesn't throw it in your face, so to speak. There's a nice little touch, like and not enough this late wisdom age may impart. But this is where our follies start. This kind of notion of, hey, you know what? There might be some older people out there. You don't want to listen to them because you want to do your own thing. But you know what? They've learned those hard lessons. There's some wisdom in those voices to learn from. And then again, we would prosper from the past, collect his lessons, learn his best. That is if we are remembering the fact that we are fallible. Going forward, looking back, not so much, because that's 2020, that's hindsight, but it doesn't hurt to keep a wary eye on that which you've already created and done, so you can actually move on in a more palatable manner. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Well said there, Rex. All right, up next we have Landslide by Patricia Marie, and Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, Landslide by Patricia Marie. She did her best writing on the brink of change, doubting her brilliance, her perception deranged. She lived for a dream. Success was that quick. She was running on empty, a candle with no wick. Afraid of losing it all, her world crashed down, caught in a landslide, hoping to be found. Failure, not an option. Her will was too great. She must lose the fear before it's too late. Her demons were persistent. They wanted her soul, like the event horizon pulled in a black hole. At that point, she realized this could mean no return. A matter of survival was her greatest concern. Music was her lifeboat and never let her down. Recapturing herself through lyrics and sound. Getting older, she claims, fame has a price. The cost is expensive and could take your life. End poem.
Great read, Cal. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you think?
A great read there, Cal. I have to say, this is really nice rhyme and flow to it. I really like how the general message is one of how of the price of fame, of a kind of losing up oneself. It almost makes me think of like Marilyn Monroe or other famous people who have given in to alcoholism, drugs. It just has a very sad tone to it, and the whole idea of that the paying the cost of becoming well-known, of losing a sense of one's soul, of one's humanity. And I like how it just, is very emotive. Like, it doesn't say a specific name, so it could be really about anybody who's suffered through the tragedy of losing themselves. And so just a beautiful, heartfelt write and very well done.
What she said, Pam? Yeah, I like the fact that she didn't name Stevie Nicks in this, left it open-ended as that abject warning or something that could be, hey, you know what, pay a little attention to this, to you younger crowd coming in or the ones that are, have been in a couple of years. Got to watch your footing. Because it's easy enough to slip, and you might not ever make it back up, let alone into. So there's that nice touch of not only be careful what you wish for, but be careful the road you travel into, because it's not all peaches and roses. And, Cal, how about you? You got to read that.
Oh, I thought it was very eloquent. And like you said, it doesn't really matter who she was writing for. It's, it could go along with, like, most people who have gone the same path, trying to, of seeking stardom. And she, Evie rose so quick, and she's one of my favorite female artists. Very beautiful, physically, very beautiful musically. And this is a very beautiful, poignant writing. But in the end, it's got a little bit of, it does have some hope in it. I mean, music was her lifeboat. It never let her down. Recapturing herself through lyrics and sound. Getting older, she claims the fame has a price. The cost is expensive and can take your life. But it's only if you let it. And she was a strong woman. This is a very beautiful piece, very beautiful and very well done.
Nicely said, Cal. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, where are you going?
Okie dokie, Smokey. Up next we have I Curse the Day by Allison Hodges, and it goes like this. I woke up, I looked around and saw my chains. They had been there with me always, but I was unaware of them. You looked at me, you saw the strength of them. You said I would never find freedom, and it seemed like the truth of my life. I cursed the day you put the chains upon me. I cursed the day I became aware my anger had no boundaries, fly free. So bound in by the past accompanying me now, by the blaring patterns of my life, by my own impotence come alive, no way out. My mind reminding me that never would I break the chain of my vague past that owned me so deeply it hurt. An open door, a way to break the chains of the past, a way to end the chain of incest, just to not carry it on in the end poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Cal, why don't we start with you?
Wow. This is really deep, deep writing, kind of dark. I don't know why, but for some reason I like this one, No Way Out. My mind reminding me that never would I break the chain of my vague past that owned me so deeply it hurt. An open door, a way to break the chain of the past, a way to end the chain of incest, not to just carry it on in me. Wow. That's just a fascinating, fascinating write. And I'd really like to hear your opinion, Rex and Pam.
Actually, I liked it. I thought it was going to be about abuse until I got to that that very last stanza, which put a very different perspective on it. Because, yes, it is about the abuse, but I was thinking of abuse in a different way, the battering as well as the verbal. This came out, and it might have encompassed that also, but the other angle with this was deeply disturbing with that thought in the last stanza itself with the chain of incest puts a whole different spin on the rest of the piece because she didn't let in on any of that thought. Really, until that last line, because it was all about the feeling itself, the feeling of being chained, the feeling of being strapped down. To hide it till the last end was a great way to punctuate the thought even further, and that was a wonderful piece. How about you, Pam?
Yeah, I think it is a wonderful piece. It's powerful. It's emotive. I did like that she went through the emotional part of it first, and then, as you said, she had the impact at the end where it mentions the chain of incest. The interesting thing is that once she gets to that point, you get to that end, and it hits really hard, and you go back, you realize there are those there. Like the whole idea of you said I would never find freedom. Like so many times sexual predators will control their victims through fear by threatening them, threatening their families, you know, threatening their security. And I also really like By the Blaring Patterns of My Life, By My Own Impotence Come Alive. And the reason I really liked that is because it speaks a raw truth about how sexual abuse will often change your pattern of thinking about yourself and will lead, and the depression and anger that comes with it leads to destructive behaviors. And I like that she had the courage to write, and appreciate that she had the courage to write about this. And it did by putting the way to end the chain of incest, just to not carry it on in me, really was a powerful ending that showed that kind of sense and ray of hope within that instead of allowing continue to be destructive in behavior and be passed destructive behavior on to the next generation, she's learning to break the chain, and it's kind of got this, you know, rising out of the ashes type feel to it at that point. So it's very well done.
All right, we got next.
All right. Up next, we have, did I grab the next one? No, I did not. Give me a moment. Let me grab the next one. And all right, hold on. And where is, there it is. All right. And all right, up next we have Funeral Song after W.H. Auden, Stop All the Clocks by Jim Bellamy. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Funeral Song by Jim Bellamy. Prune down the angels to the wick. Snuff out all the candles. Unbake all bread. Spoil all trenches with a slick. Bury the living to the dead. Where blows a lover, deal a fatal flaw to all that call. Mar all saviors with a wheel. Slash the cinema seats and stall. They were the shivers of the silver screen. Where their blood flows, the curtain falls. Retire all vision to the dumb. For now no good may come of all. Lash the usherette to the sedge. Unravel torches down the hill. Crash the armies through pit head. Mess the crowd to life lie still. Where a crow's a regime dom, dash the lights and kill the spiels. Where glows a face of calm, mash each drama round the heel. They were all remote owned. Where they lie dead, there may be none. Embalm the filmic gods with bones. For now, all love is done. End poem. All right, Pam. Europe.
This is really nice. I like it. I always enjoyed Jim Bellamy, sorry. I was having a flashback, obviously, to like the 90s. I really like, they were shivers of the silver screen where their blood flows, the curtain thralls, retire all vision to the dumb, for now no good may come of all. There's just a strong idea of how people get caught up in the fame and the glory. And, you know, for some reason, like, it just makes me think of, like, television back in, like, the, you know, like the golden era of movie making in the golden era of Hollywood. Then mess the crowd till life lies still, where crows a regime alms, dash light and kills the spiels, where glows a face of calm, gnash each drama round the keels. I really like the use of the rhyme of spiels and keels. You know, to me there's this real sense of destruction within the limelight, and how, to me, I get this idea of the idea of selling up one's soul in order to become a god of the silver screen. And, you know, it just has a real sense of love loss and, you know, and the claws of fame. So just a really powerful write and very well done.
Thank you, PM. And Cal, how about you?
Well, I'm going to admit to my people's confusion on this. In some ways, I agree with Pam, but in other ways, I'm not real sure. I think some of it could be like, you know, because he's talking about the cinema seats and stalls and the silver screen. And, yeah, I get that, you know. Shit, I'm really losing it here. I was thinking more along the lines that the idols of the silver screen are gone. Yeah, all the old goldies, you know, the black and whites and all that, and it's all been replaced with all this new cinematic stuff that really isn't real. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel alive. It looks realer and it looks more alive, but there isn't a whole lot of true actorship in it. That's my opinion, because I've watched You know, a lot of times I'll be watching some of these newer movies, and I'll say, really? Really? And then I'll watch, like, an old Lucille Ball or something, and it's, oh, yeah, yeah, that's funny. You know, that's some good stuff. You know, I just get the impression that it's, you know, tearing down something that used to be better. I don't know. I could be wrong. It was just an impression I was getting from it.
Oh, I got the same idea. The death of an industry that used to be once be held to a higher ideal than it is now. Especially considering everything's folded into CGI now, and everything's going past the thought of normality as to what is. Yet they're portraying it not as fantasy but as real. That's kind of the throwback that I'm getting. You're not getting those real stories anymore. The thought to that really got expressed back in its heyday, which now just seems to be let's put the maddest, wildest show on board, and we'll throw in some sex for good touch, and that's the end of the movie. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Do you know what shows have some of the most corniest acting I've come to realize? Is like those old Western shows like Gunsmoke and other ones like that, where like every time someone dies, or like the Lone Ranger, anytime somebody dies, it is the most overacted, overdramatic thing I have ever seen.
Well, you forget. In those days, they were just learning how to roll the thought of weekly serials and action sequences and talkies.
I know that. I was just saying, you can definitely tell that acting, like many other art forms, has grown over the decades. Because, man, was there some really cliche.
Well, hell,
acting.
No, it's gotten to the point of being toilet trash. There's nothing going into today's output. It's all reverb. Let's take something that was good back then. Let's revamp it up now, and then we'll revamp it up further by doing this to it, and then we'll do this to it, this to it, this one. And by the time you get finished to it, you don't even want to look at the original product no more because you've ruined the hell out of it. There's no real intellectual property anymore. Nobody bothers thinking, oh, we'll just do this. They'll like it. Oh, no, we won't. As they're finding out at the box offices.
You know what? You got your opinion. I got mine. I'm not saying that every movie and every show nowadays is great. It has more than its fair share of bullshit, especially reality TV. But
oh, I can't stand reality TV.
There is plenty of good stuff that has come out in the last 25 years.
I didn't say
well,
there isn't. It's the over the over the top going
and not
way
everything.
Past
that was made
all right,
for a certain
shut
point.
The hell up. Let's move on.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to voice my opinion. All right. We'll go ahead. Well, I'll sign the peace treaty, and we'll go ahead and move on. Okay, here we go. Up next we have Advice for Your Children by Brother Jacob. And Kel, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Advice for Your Children by Brother Jacob. Fathers' advice to their sons. Fathers, teach your sons to be gentlemen. That is where we can begin. Teach them how to respect the lady, to be classy and not shady. Correct them when they are wrong. They may complain, but it makes them strong. Son, I've made mistakes when I was young, too. That's the reason why I'm a little hard on you. Mothers, advice to your daughters. Mothers, teach your daughters it's not all about looks, nor what one-liners men tell girls in books. daughter, the appearance you have now will one day fade away, and just like me, you'll be old and gray. Daughter, sex is great, but that's not what love is all about. It's about finding someone special you could never live without. Daughter, I know at times in your life I have embarrassed you. When you have a daughter of your own, it's me you'll turn to. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. Well, there's a lot of hard-edged truth in this. They took this song, Teach Your Children, by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. So this is about, hey, you know what? It starts at home. You teach your sons and you teach your daughters that which they should know in life, and hope for the best part at the end of the day, that they take everything that you're trying to give them to heart and work it out as part of their life. Nicely done, Brother Jacob. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I don't know how my eyes skipped over that we still had two more carryovers, and one of them was Kel's. Sorry about that. But I thought this was a wonderful write. I like how it has wisdom mixed with humor, and especially to me, in the very last part with, where it says, daughter, I know at times in your life I have embarrassed you, but when you have a daughter of your own, it's me you'll turn into. I thought that was a great, clever line. But there is this wonderful, to me, tidbits of humor and wisdom within this, from a father to a son and from a daughter or mother to a daughter. And the whole idea of, you know, that these future generations need to know and learn to treat, you know, people, and especially to treat those who could be, who, you know, of the, how to behave as far as with the opposite sex, and what truly is love. Like, I do look also really like where it points the out, and maybe I was thinking of another a poem. Where was that? Oh, yeah, teach them how to respect a lady, to be classy and not shady, I thought was wonderful lines. This is just a great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And, Kel, you got to read it. How about you?
I liked it. I got to say, though, I was mother and father to my kids, all three of them, even my son. And I think I've done pretty good. He's a gentleman for the most part. He opens the door and he watches out for his mom. So that's a bonus. I think this is really, really an awesome write. I can really relate to, especially, you know, the mother, you know, teaching your daughters. And all we can do is the best we can and, you know, pray that they'll learn something from our efforts. This is very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kel. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Didn't you have something to say about the poem?
I opened it.
You did? How did I miss that? Huh. Very odd. All right. And up next we have Gypsy Beach Daydreams by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Remember me, my love, kissing you at Gypsy Beach beneath sweet starlight, Ferris wheels spinning, neon rainbows reflecting, waves crashing on shore, tumbling in your arms. I'm listening to your heartbeat pounding while synced to mine, melodies playing on my retro stereo, drifting erotic. Daydreams come to life if only time would stand still when we were kissing. Yet fate played us both. We stared in each other's eyes, never been the same. Crystal balls crashing, splintering in both our minds. Golden sands cascade as I break my heart, while I'm piercing yours as well, sent us both to hell. fire of love blaze lingering within us, glass, things leaving us numb. By chance or freedom, to love or to walk away, fade into sunrise. Remember me, my love, kissing you at Gypsy Beach beneath sweet starlight, Ferris wheel spinning, neon rainbows reflecting, waves crashing on shore, tumbling in your arms. I'm listening to your heartbeat pounding while synced to mine, melodies playing on my retro stereo, drifting erotic. Daydreams come to life if only time would stand still when we are kissed, we're kissing. Am I still dreaming, drift sitting alone on the beach, swimming, lost in tears? End poem.
Great read, Pam. She did this to dreams, so I like the fourth stanza in, because she used it again. Melody's playing on my retro stereo, drifting erotic. There's that nice touch, retro stereo, hitting on that note that she's actually got a stereo that's retroed back to the 60s, 70s. So it kind of gives you that feel of living in the now while walking back in time to the music a bit, while still holding on to that thought with the dreams, which she's expressing in the first place, because she does hit on a touch of as I break my heart while I'm piercing yours as well, send us both to hell. Nice touch with that. And then again, the repeat with the Ferris wheel spinning, tumbling in your arms, melodies playing on my retro stereo, drifting around. There's kind of and then she hits me, swimming lost in tears, a touch of sadness to finish the thought of walking back in time all those years, all because of that little retro stereo sitting on the beach with her and memories. Nicely done, Betty. Cal, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's got a really strong reminiscent feel to it. You know, I love that retro stereo bit. You know, it kind of reminds me of the old record player Mom and Dad bought us when we were in our teens. Oh, my God. That's really the old turntable, you know? I really like this. Crystal balls crashing, splintering. In both our minds, golden sands cascade. This is her metaphors are really fantastic in this. Just very beautifully written. But I love Betty Page. Her stuff is awesome.
Nice. Thank you, Cal. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is an awesome write. I like, Cal, that you brought up the part about the record player, where was that, the retro. I thought that was really a cool part. And I like that rec you mentioned, that the retro stereo, that was the phrase I was looking for. I like that you mentioned that it has the feel of being in the now, but, you know, drifting backwards in time and memory. I really like how the question, by chance or freedom, to love or to walk away, fade into sunrise. I like how that gives the thought of being at a pivotal moment of life, where, you know, that moment in life where a relationship is going to be made or it's going to be broken. And I like how it drifts back into such nostalgic images as Ferris wheel spinning, neon rainbows reflecting, waves crashing on shore. And I really like tumbling in your arms. I'm listening to your heart pounding while you sink to mine. I really like that there's that sense of connection there. And then the last lines are especially emotive in their impact, as you realize that at that moment there, she's sitting alone on the beach, remembering what once was. So beautifully written and very well done.
Nicely said. Where do we go next?
Where do we go now? Where do we go now? I'm so glad you asked, Rex. All right. And up next, we have your poem, Kel. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Plenty of dreams. by Kel Smiles. Mama always told me there were more fish. Plenty of fish in the sea. Don't have to wish on only one coming your way to stay. Remember that some only want to play. That aren't worth the time of your day. They'll never live up to your dreams. Only there long enough to play, then leave. Don't lose hope or neglect your dreams. Someone will love you and never leave. He is out there, you can believe it or not. Never quit believing or dreaming about. Mama always told me there were more fish. Plenty of fish in the sea. Don't have to wish. Don't put all your heart into the first guy. Meet a few more. One may help you fly. Don't lose hope or neglect your dreams. Someone will love you and never leave. He is out there, you can believe it or not. Never quit believing or dreaming about. Take a chance to live your dreams, for finding your true love is your destiny. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
I really enjoyed this one. I'm glad we saved it for you to, and you were able to call in this week. This rhymes really nicely. I like how it has that classic start of Mama always told me. You know, Mama is just full of wisdom. There were more fish, plenty of fish in the sea. Don't have to wish on only one coming your way to stay. I like that whole idea that it's the, to me, it kind of speaks on, you know, what a mother would say to her daughter when the first time that she got her heart broken, the first time that she thought that that was the one, that was the man she was going to marry and spend the rest of her life with. I also really like, though, where you go, don't lose hope or neglect your dreams. Someone will love you and never leave. He's out there. You can believe it or not, you know, just the whole idea of just having hope. But to me, that one line where it says, don't lose hope or neglect your dreams, I felt in its own way, kind of changed the tone of the poem a bit to where, as you know, the poem is all about having that hope that that right person is out there for you, that love is out there for you. However, that line to me also speaks volumes on the idea, like, in the meantime, while you're waiting for that true love, there's other dreams you can fulfill. There's other ways you can find happiness and fulfillment for yourself. So I really thought this was excellent writing and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I'm glad you caught that.
Well, there's a bit of a kind of almost Southern charm with the use of Mama, but it also hits you on that note of some of the other songs that have come out with that, Mama told me there'd be days like this, and Mama told me not to come. It always offers up a lesson that one is supposed to perk your ears up to and pay close attention, because Mama is trying to give forth something that is perfect for the here and now, and which will lead to a better and brighter tomorrow if you pay attention. That being more or less what I'm trying to say, because when my Mama speaks in that kind of tone, you actually are supposed to pay heed and listen intently.
Yes. Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Pam, where are we going next?
I like that, Rex. Well said there. All right. Up next, hold on. Just give me give me a moment and... all right, and grab the next one. I know it's here somewhere. Here we go. All right. And up next, we have Love the Drink You've Got, a parody by CRL17. And Rex, either read that or sing that, please.
All right. Love the Drink You've Got, CRL17. If you're drunk, been abused, and the jukebox is who you're talking to, word your foreman slip away, because the bottle isn't far away. Well, there's a floor closer than it was. And if you didn't even need a shove, if you can't drink with the one you love, love the drink you got and have another shot. Don't get angry, don't get mad. Just do more shots like the ones you had. Turn your headaches right into beers. Watch the bouncers drag you out of here. Get it together some other night. You ain't gonna need any more advice. Info. All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, first of all, awesome singing there, Rex. I'm so glad. I'm so glad CRL wrote a parody so we get to hear you sing. And I thought this was just spot on. You know, I thought it had great humor, great rhyme and flow. I like that he twisted the song to Love the Drink You've Got. But my absolute favorite was that end stanza with turn your headaches right into beers, watch the bouncers drag you out of here, get it together some other night, you ain't gonna need any more advice. Great lines there. I very much enjoyed this.
Nice, Dan. Thank you. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I'm with Pam. I'm glad we got to hear you sing. It's always a pleasure. I really like this. It's like Pam was saying also, it's got a lot of humor in it, and it's spot on to the song. Just really fantastic flow and rhythm. And you know, as you can tell, he went really well with it. So good old job, Chuck.
Oh, absolutely. This was actually a nice parody, a lot of fun in it. And it kind of fits the motif of actually, you've had about a bit too much. And the floor is right there, and now you're getting tossed out of the door. So, well done, CRL. Thank you very much. That was a fun parody. Enjoyed it. All right, Pam, what we got next?
All right. Up next, we have, that is a good question, what do we have next? I think we should do one of our SoundClouds next. All right, let's do that. I'm going to go grab a... All right, and up next we have Cotton Candy by Rich F. And I'll go ahead and push play for that. So here we go.
Forever running on this same old road. Highway hovers, always look for love. Overhead, I watch the stars explode. The harvest moon now guides me from above. I run my fingers through my hippie hair, forever flowing lockets of despair. Out on the freeway, rockets roar and crash. Country cowgirls riding in the fields. Stormy stallions speed by in a flash. Eternal competition, no one yields. Love and peace now, get down in the sand, and we will slide to Woodstock hand in hand. And now, a new year starts. Our hearts explode. Our fears now fading. Virus, dead and gone. Driving hard on paranoia road. This dusty dirt track drifting on and on. Into the eerie darkness, miles ahead, my country cowgirl dreaming of our bed. Toyota roaring, purring as we run. The siren screams behind us. Oh, the law. A sideways glance, we wonder what we've done. Towards the sun, we'll run forevermore. We point our car towards the distant drums. You're not beside me. CSNY Strums. So running on this highway all alone, searching for a country heart of gold, and up ahead, the sun sinks like a stone, a sable lunar landscape, bought and sold. The road now forking, Woodstock, close at hand. My mind now reeling, dreaming on demand. The path not taken, cowgirl in the sand. The road now forking, Woodstock, close at hand. My mind now reeling, dreaming on demand. The path not taken, cowgirl in the sand.
Thank you very much for the SoundCloud, Rich. It's greatly appreciated. And let's start with you, Pam.
Oh, this is awesome. As always, you've got great rhyme flow and alliteration. I like how he wrote to mainly inspired by one specific song. But also gave a nod to Cut My Hair and Woodstock, as he says in his AN. I also have to, and I won't read his whole comment, but I like how Randy G put in his comment in quotation marks, great, right, Rich, and then he put in quotation marks, I almost cut my hair after reading it. I thought that was funny. But, you know, this is really great, and I like how the imagery brings us forward into the journey taken. The harvest moon now guides me from above. I run my fingers through my hippie hair, forever flowing lockets of despair. I really like those lines. And now a new year starts, our hearts explode. Our fears now fading, virus then gone. Driving hard on paranoia road. Driving hard on paranoia road. I like those lines. I like the idea of that this is about that journey. Where the journey is forward, but the memories look back at that a humbler time, a freer time, a time of love and hope. You know, so just really an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, ma'am. And Kel, how about you?
Oh, I like how it has a 60s feel to it. And sound, it's just amazing. I love some of the music from that era. And I always wondered if my parents ever regretted not going to Woodstock, because I was only like 5 years old then. So this is something I've wondered about throughout the years. I really like this. You know, just the feel to it is just so amazing. It's got a very nostalgic impressionism to it. I love it. Absolutely loved it.
Thank you, guys. Rich dropped a lot in this. He does, he did note the thought to Stephen Stills. I almost cut my hair last night. And two of Neil Young's, the Cowgirl in the Sand, and although we added a little extra thought to Country Cowgirls, the original title of one song was Country Girl, which is also written by Neil Young. So it hits on both. Plus, he drops in some other thoughts to Neil Young. Harvest is one of the titles to Neil Young's albums, and there's a thought to Stormy Stallions, which has me thinking of Dark Horse, another one of Neil Young's renditions musically. And what else is there? Something else I thought. It's on Heart of Gold, which is another one of his songs. Plus, he touches on Woodstock overall as that generating thought to how it all began, which was a nice touch. Thank you very much, Rich. All right, Pam, where are we going?
I always enjoy how you can find all the little treasures within a poem there. That's very cool. All right. And up next we have Fake It Till You Make It by Martha Gettle. And we have a recording for that. So here we go.
Fake It Till You Make It by Martha Gettle. When you left me falling apart. I was reeling from a broken heart. I was giving in to the roaring pain. My heart was drowning in the pouring rain. All alone at home, nothing I could do but cry. Hang my head and only wonder why. Then I thought, how can I go on? What will I do with you gone? My girlfriend called and said, come go out with me. I said, sure, all I have to do here is be lonely. Later someone asked me to dance, and my heart said, take a chance. As we danced across the floor, I didn't feel so alone anymore. And as he pulled me close to him, I thought I can do this again. My girlfriend called and said, come go out with me. I said, sure, all I have to do here is be lonely. Later someone asked me to dance, and my heart said, take a chance. You may not want to be with me, it's true, but there are others who do. So I'm not going to stay home and cry. No, I'm going to fake it till my heart learns to fly.
Wonderful read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And this one was taken on the song of Love the One You're With. And Kel, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, as usual, awesome singing and poetry, Martha. This has got a real sense of never giving up. You know, you take your chance, you know, you can stay home and boo-hoo and cry and, you know, but, you know, you got to get out there and keep trying. Just keep trying. I love that. It's got a very, very strong positive feel to it.
Thank you very much, Cal. Pam, how about you?
I really liked this, and what as always, you know, she's a very talented songwriter, and what I like about this is it's about the bond that girlfriends have. You know, when you're feeling down, when somebody has broken your heart, and you have that friend that is always there for you, and I really did like that chorus. My girlfriend called and said, come out with me. I said, sure, all I have to do here is to be lonely. Later, someone asked me to dance, and my heart said, take a chance. So, you know, it's great how it touches on that idea that by saying yes to a small thing could potentially lead to a bigger thing. You know, that she pulled herself out of that rut, that she said yes to going out dancing with her girlfriend, and then, you know, met somebody new, and I like it's such a feeling of empowerment of telling yourself, you know what, I'm not going to stay home and cry. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. It's not a parody and it's not a retort. It's a companion piece. It walks the very same thought and feeling, but offers it up on a different tone and in the same vein of thought that the original does. I love the one you would. This is walking the other way, but hitting on that sort of the sadness. So just getting out to, hey, you know what? As she put it, fake it till you make it. It's a nice comical tone to the thought of, yeah. Well, you know what? It's better than staying home and crying the blues. My eyes will go out and put on your dancing shoes.
Absolutely. Well said there, Rex.
All right, Pam, we're coming back to you.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to have somebody who said they were going to call in by the end of this poem, but they haven't, so I guess I'll go ahead and move on to the next one, and they can just call in whenever they're ready to. So I'll go ahead and get the next one up. And I'm actually going to go ahead and give my poem a read. And this is inspired by the song Woodstock. And this is Prayers of Rain Upon the Earth. There's an unnamed man walking down the lonesome city streets where no one is talking as they wallow in defeat. There's a hippie in the wheat field who says we're made of stars and clay, and the music of our hearts is the music we should play. They are children of the mother. They are children of the earth. They are prophets always sharing connection and self-worth. There's a woman in the Midwest. Another lives down south, and they are praising farmers with the lyrics from their mouth. There's a hopeful stranger who wants to join a band, who knows the beat of rock and roll will bring salvation to the land. There are broken minds, broken hearts, people dying all alone, and all the emptiness they feel travels deep into their bones. They are children of the mother. They are children of the earth. They are prophets always searching for connection and self-worth. There's a junkie who's looking to numb away the pain. There's a mama who's crying like her tears are prayers of rain. There's prostitutes on street corners. There's peddlers of souls. There's angels with 1,000 cracks wishing they were whole. A woman swallows down the pills. A man is staring at the gun. Each of them is slowly dying as they're searching for the one. They are children of the mother. They are children of the earth. They are the hard-edged prophets of love and all its worth. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Cal, why don't we start with you, please?
Wow. Oh, my goodness, Pamela. Oh.
This I thought you brought your ass home. Where the hell you been? Oh, nothing. Sorry, guys. The cat decided to come home after being out all day in the bloody snow.
I get them like that, too. This is really fantastic, Pam. There's a hippie in the wheat field who says we're made of stars and clay, and the music of our hearts is the music we should play. But there's also these little heart-wrenching pieces in here of all the broken hearts and the broken people. You know, it's kind of just breaks your heart. You know, and it's just really fantastic writing. I'm not real sure what to make of it, though. Except that it's just very heart-wrenching in some ways, but in a very beautifully well-written way, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you, Cal.
I agree with you on that one, because this kind of hits on that note of Woodstock itself, what it was. It was supposed to be hopeful. This kind of screams bleak, especially when you get to the second half with the junkie, the prostitutes, and everyone else that's kind of drifting and driving into the existence of walking beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rex. And as always, thank you for the inspiration.
All right, what we got next?
All right. Up next, we have, Carry On by Chris Bond. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Carry On by Chris Bond. Even if we part, accept our union has lost its heart, and go divergent ways, no more dubs and jays, life will carry on. Sailed ships, wilted flowers, eradication of so many happy hours, even if we stay friends, acceptance, the intimate relationship is at an end, life will carry on. No hard feelings, common state of many human beings. Love thrives, shrivels, and dies, a stage watched by a thousand eyes. Life will carry on. End poem. All right, Pam, this one's start with you.
All right, great read there, Rex. Excellent write by Chris Bond. I liked the how your cat decided to join in and supply the background music. Very cool there. And, I like this. It's a nice brevity with a wonderful, straightforward style. And I like how it has, a healthy attitude about breaking up with that whole idea no hard feelings. You know, sometimes things just happen. And sometimes, you know, life just carries on. I do like, though, that he put friends in quotes, even if we stay friends in quotation marks. I think that is a little bit of humor to it. I also like the imagery of sailed ships and wilted flowers. I think wilted flowers particularly kind of work really well metaphorically to represent the end of a once romantic relationship. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Cal, how about you?
Well, I'm glad I muted because my dogs would have been serenading your cat. Oh, God.
Yeah, she did get a little mouthy there. I had to beat her off me so I can hear.
Yeah. I understand. I have 5 cats and 3 dogs. Oh, golly.
Well, they'll keep you warm on cold nights.
Oh, they do. They do. especially the dogs. Thankfully, they're small. Oh, golly. This is really, really a good piece. Really good piece. Love thrives, shrivels, and dies. A stage watched by a thousand eyes. Life will carry on. Yeah, this is really a spot-on piece. And very enjoyable. It's got just that little bit of ironic humor to it, even if we stay friends, except in the intimate relationship is at an end. Yeah, I really like that. Very well done.
Yeah, a bit of dry Brit wit.
Yep.
Too bad. All right. Actually, yeah, I walk on the same tone. The thought they went carry on with this was a nice touch because, you know what? It is what it is. You have to carry on or flounder. So the thought is, hey, you know what? Carry on with what's got to be done. And life does carry on. Life does move on. Even if you refuse to do so, it'll eventually drag over you to make sure you do. So point is, hey, pull up your socks, let it go down the right road, and keep striding forward so you don't get buried in the muck. Nicely done, Chris. Oh, Pam, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right, and let's see. This is the last time I'm checking. Okay. Up next, we have... Children of Starlight by Betty Page. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
Definitely. Children of Starlight, Page. We are children of peace, riding on starlight across skies, flowers in our hair, lost in sweet ideals, spinning wheels on Harley rides. Easy rider dreams, kaleidoscope minds filled, Jim Morrison poems, faraway deserts, Venice Beach artists coloring walls with rainbows, sugar tube coffees, roller skating highs, swerving round curves by the beach, sipping lemonade, strolling through fine shops, kind bohemian gypsies buying some chronic hydroponic plants, green as emerald, shimmering, sticky, sweet, kind bud. Dancing at cool bars, retro, cocktail drinks in hand. Margaritaville, come escape with me to the local cantina. Party all night long. And poem.
Great read, Gal. Thank you very much. I think she dipped into two ends with this, both old and new. And I added, again, that little touch of retro thought, because you hit on the thought of, you've got Jim Morrison poems, Faraway Deserts, coloring walls with rainbows, sugar cube coffees, nice touch there. The kind bohemian gypsies, buying some chronic, that's a newer term. Green as emerald, shimming, sticky sweet kind bud, again, a newer term. The Margaritaville, well, a note to Jimmy Buff, I like that. The local canteen had me thinking of the cantina scene from the original Star Wars. So it's got quite a bit of dancing in this one, right down to the Easy Rider and the Harley scene in that second stanza. Nicely done. She did that to Woodstock. Pam, what you got?
Yeah, always. I really enjoyed this. I thought it had a wonderful imagery. It was absolutely, I have to say, it was one of those poems that was delightful. I really liked, of course, Kaleidoscope Minds, Jim Morrison poems, Faraway Deserts. I like the idea of sitting on the beach, you know, drinking those cold retro cocktail drinks, reading poetry by Jim Morrison. I mean, it sounds like a great date night to me. Come escape with me to the local cantina, party all night long. I'm sorry. I'm just listening to her argue with you. But another favorite part of mine was where she says, spinning wheels on Harley rides, easy rider dreams. Very cool lines and very well done.
Well said, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
Meow.
Yeah. All of a sudden, oh, think about it. Yeah, you're on the phone. I want food.
It sounds like a child.
You can bloody well wait. You've been gone all day.
I really like this. It has the same 60s nostalgic feel to it as Rich S, but in a different way. I love the Venice Beach artist covering walls with rainbows, sugar cube coffees, all the little nuances that she put into an earlier time, riding on starlight, cross skies, flowers in our hair, children of peace, you know. It's just, I love all these little references. It's just absolutely fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful writing, Betty.
Thank you, Kel. All right, Pam, we're back to you.
All right. And up next we have children. I started to say the title of Betty's poem again, which would not have worked. All right. We have Judith in the Mornings by Dark Night of the Soul, and it goes like this. There's something about Judith's hair, the way light catches its blues and blacks by the window as she sits and plays in torn T-shirt and faded slacks. There's something in the blush on her cheek, reminding me of a blooming rose, the way she blends with my bedroom colors, soft as the morning shadows. There's something moving in the tone of her fingertips strumming her guitar, something in the words that passes her lips. They make blue eyes beam like a falling star. She puts her guitar down and comes to me, presses lips against mine, not for long, tangles fingers in the hair on my chest in the rhythm of a forgotten folk song. Then she returns to the window and sings in a melody that's just for me. It makes me sit up and sing along in our unique part two harmony. There's something so perfect about Judith in the Mornings. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And this was done to sweet Judy Blue Eyes from Roger Sills National. And Kel, let's start with you, please.
Oh, this is beautiful writing, and it's, I'm feeding my cat. it's got a very nostalgic and eloquent cast to it. It's very beautiful. It has a lovely rhythm and flow, and the images are gorgeous. Very beautifully done.
Thank you, Kel. And Pam, how about you?
Well, for one, I really wish I had had you read this, but other than that, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I'm glad he put it in the contest and for the show, because I thought it fit really well. It was a great inspiration from the song Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. I really like this all the way through, wonderful rhyme and flow. But for me, it was the first stanza and the third stanza that really spoke to me, especially there's something moving in the tone of her fingertips strumming her guitar, something in the words that passes her lips that make blue eyes beam like a falling star. wonderful lines there and just absolutely beautifully written.
Yep, and all that. He did do it for Sweet Judy Blue Eyes and had a thought to bringing it forward modernly. It kind of hits me with the thought of something which also came out back at the same time, back in the day, and that would be Something by the Beatles, which George Harrison wrote. So this kind of walks this something his that a couple of times, which kind of hits the same tone and voice from that song by Harrison, but works well within here as a blended voice. So that's something which speaks.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like that you mentioned the blended voice that was, you know, within the lines. So very cool there. And all right. And let me go ahead and figure out which one we will go to next. All right. And not that one. Let's go for all right, here we go. And up next we have Missing Piece by Doc Frank. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. I like that picture. Missing Piece by Doc Frank. Peace, a life lease. To the eyes of peace, you are my missing piece. Without your love, I'm deceased. You do make my heart beat increase. All secrets pent up, fears release. Put a troubled mind at peace. My concerns decrease. My love, Clarice, by Lewis. And boom.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. And all right, Pam, what you got?
Clarice always makes me think of Silence of the Lambs. Well, you know, it's a beautiful brevity, and he liked it because he put the exact same poem in our Christmas show. You know, I like the way he shaped it into a diamond, and I thought it had some really wonderful end rhyme, and I especially like the line, "You are my missing piece." So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Cal, you got to read it. What do you think?
Well, it definitely has a very good rhyme. And I agree. I like the shape. It kind of reminds me of a Nonne. Did I pronounce that right? Nonne, Nonette. But anyway, yeah, it's beautiful. Peace, a life, leaf, the eyes of peace. Yeah, I really like this. It's a beautiful piece. Very well written.
Well said, guys. I think the single rhyme works with it. Mono rhyme works with this well. The piece, lease, feast, feast, deceased. It's not perfect, but it sits on a nice tone of that adjustment. Walks it within each line very well. And, yeah, the thought with Clarice does kind of bring up the Silence of the Lambs. Dr. Lecter. Yes, I'll eat your face off. But anyway. Oh, this does walk a nice tone of actually, this could be Clarice speaking to Dr. Lecter. It's what he wanted originally, so. Be thoughts within his dream world.
I like that. Awesome thought there, Rex.
All right, what we got next?
All right, well, before we move on to the next poem, I would like to welcome Lester Gutierrez to the show. Welcome, Lester. Glad you could join us.
Well, Lester.
Are you there, Lester?
Yes, can I read my poem now?
You will be able to read your poem, yes. Yes, I know you're calling long distance and you have to read, so let me just go ahead and hold on. I'll let you know when I have it up in the room that you can. So, all right.
Okay,
I'm going to grab the link.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And we're glad that you could call in to read your poem for us. And there we go. Whenever you're ready, give it a read.
I am now ready. Is it, can I get a signal that I can read my poem now? Okay.
Yes, please.
Here's my poem, Sea of Life. Been a wanderer for so long, can't even remember how we got here. Had so many battles lost, and countless friends who already left. All I ever wanted is that day we shall be sitting on that shore, touching those white, pristine sands, watching our endless blue waves. Oh, take my heart away. It's up to you if you love me back. I'll keep waiting here and again in this sea of life.
Great read, Lester. Thank you very much. Let's get some comments. Pam, why don't you start us off?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Well, like I said, I'm glad that you could call in to read your own poem, because it's always great to hear the poet's own work in their own voice. I really like the Sea of Life as a title and in the end line, because to me the sea works so beautiful metaphorically for something that has so much undiscovered potential in it. It's like one of the few remaining areas of the world that is not completely explored yet. And there's so much mythology behind it. And I thought this was a lovely three stanza of brevity. And what really spoke to me the most, though, was had so many battles lost was a strong line. And then that whole second stanza, touching those white pristine sands, watching our endless blue waves. I think to me there's really such a sense of hope within those lines, as the idea of the endless blue waves, the continuation of something. So a wonderful write and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
I really enjoyed this. I agree with Pam. The Sea of Life is a beautiful title and an awesome way to end it as well. There's so much mystery in the sea, and watching the waves is just mesmerizing in a way. Been a wanderer for so long, can't even remember how we got here. Had so many battles lost and countless friends who already left. That's really a very nostalgic and melancholic writing, but you turn it around in the end and, oh, take my heart away. It's up to you if you'll love me back. I'll keep waiting here again in the sea of life. It's just a sense of hope. And, you know, holding on, you know, don't let go of your dreams. Don't let go of whatever it is or whoever it is you love. You know, you never know, someday they might be around and come back or be realized. It's just a very beautiful, eloquent piece of writing, beautifully done.
Well put there, Cal. Thank you very much. Hi, Lester, I think your title, Sea of Life, is important because you used it as your end line as well. So I think that's indicative of how life works, the sea of life. You need it to help breathe. It's social contact and interaction that goes along with it. But sometimes you stagnate in that sea of life, and that is what you've kind of hit on here with, had so many battles lost and countless friends who already left. All I've ever wanted is that day. And there is kind of a note of sadness there. And then you can hit on that, the thought of why. There's hope within that second stanza. And then the third one is saying, dash it all. Oh, take my heart away. It's up to you if you'll love me back. There's that notice, again, of the sea of life, putting oneself out there so that it can offer up the sweetness that comes with it, as well as what might be painful in its putting out there once more. So, nicely done. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Did
we lose Austin?
Yeah, he did have to go. It's he's calling,
okay.
I think, from like the Philippines. So yes, but I'm sure he'll listen to comments on the recorded show. We have two rights left, so you know if anybody wants to grab something music inspired, they can do that and put it on the topic board. Up next, we have "The Gold Galleon" by Dan Lake. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
"The Gold Galleon" by Dan Lake. I dwelt in the world of conscious and sleep, where verity fades into dreams. A great butterfly blew wind on my cheek and bade me to ride on moonbeams. I sat on its back in a silken teepee, then its wings bore me far to a place where daffodils grew like giant pine trees, and the sun had a smile on its face. A ship floated through the great ocean, below us across the blue sky, no propulsion to help in its motion, or wings to assist it to fly. We swooped down on the golden galleon, as soft as a blood-seeking gnat. Then a dog with a silver medallion, red tricorn hat, waved goodbye to my blue butterfly as the wind filled the sails of the ship. While the moon fell asleep with a sigh, I was given some champagne to sip. Inform me from whence you have come, a light lilting voice filled the air. I turned to see my smiling Gason while plaiting a unicorn's hair. Another voice whispered, I love you, from somewhere that I couldn't see. Then I got a cheer from a pussycat crew, as sensuous hands correct me. Floating gossamer silk brushed my face, that aroused me in a heavenly bliss, while a mixture of perfume and lace encouraged the thought of a kiss. A voice said, my captain, I want you, and I felt the hot breath from my lip, while the dog and the butterfly faded, along with the crew and the ship. I stepped from a beautiful painting that hung in a fairy tale frame, to the arms of my lover who's waiting, who take me and love me again. And boom.
All right.
Kel, why don't we start with you?
Wow. This is dreamy. It's just really a mythical, magical piece that just kind of takes you into this dream world. It's just amazing. Only to wake up and, you know, this is, wow. Wake up to the arms of my lover who's waiting, who take me and love me again. This is just really fantastic piece. It's very well done. As I said, it's very mystical.
Nice, Cal. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This was mystical. It was magical. I like how it took us into the surreal, dreamlike figure with all the animals playing around, you know, the cats, the butterflies. It kind of almost made me think of like a Dali-esque type painting to it. And I like how within these lines there was that sense of adventure and that daring look for love. It really did have a very, very magical and epic feel to it. So I thought this was very well done.
Well, thank you. For the most part, this works kind of as a children's tale. It's whimsical, it's fun, it's outrageous with the thoughts like daffodils grew like giant pine trees, silken teepee. Let's see what else. We got a dog with a silver medallion that was sporting a red tricorn hat. The blue butterfly that feels the wind in the sails of the ship. It's all playful, and even mice plaiting unicorn's hair. It all hits on the note of whimsical and childlike, but it does offer up a touch of the on the back end of a little adult themology to bring it into focus before flipping out with those last four lines of reorienting oneself back into the reality past the picture itself, which was a nice touch. All right. What we got next?
All right. Up next we have To My Child by Naomi Sarah, and it goes like this. My child, you know in life there are differences that come from now on you must learn. But it's never black or white, but a different shade of gray, like the reflections in the ashes. So stop a moment and listen to the ancient echoes of a million voices that whisper like a stream drifting through life's undergrowth. But I wish you a world that sings in white and black, yellow and red, where nothing could separate them. All the children joining hands to make the earth turn like a ball in their hands, for the future belongs to them. So, child, don't hesitate. You have your whole life ahead of you. The years go by so fast and are not the same. Go, sing, dance, and have fun. Go join all the children of the earth, making sounds around the world that wonders at children playing at life to the shining sun. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And then we took Teach Your Children. All right, Kel, why don't we start with you? What have you got, please?
Oh, wow. This is a beautiful, beautiful lesson of tolerance. You know, to try to teach a child to be more tolerant of other people, no matter who they are or what color they are or whatever. It's just very beautifully done. It's just very, I like it. Go sing, dance, and have fun. Go join all the children of the earth, making sounds around the world that wonders at children playing at life to the shining sun. That's just really very beautifully written.
Well said there, Kel. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
I think this is absolutely a beautiful write from the heart. I wish Naomi could have called in to read it herself. You can tell that this comes from the heart of someone who's a mother and a teacher. And I like that it touches on the subject of love and understanding and tolerance and, you know, the whole idea. I really like the stanza about all children joining hands. I also like how it says, go sing, dance, and have fun. You know, because that last stanza to me, I think, is so important. And it speaks to the idea that we need to, the best advice we could give a child is just to be a child, to live in the moment, to enjoy the moment, and just be, you know, and absolutely a wonderful write, very well done.
Well said, ladies. It does hit on that there's a note of this being something written, maybe for after the child's grown, maybe a year or two, and it's something you write down for some years in the future that they might actually get into this. But it's kind of hits on that note of the thought of getting to that median age, 13 or so, when things start changing, and that is when this extra note of thought might actually make more sense, because things are crazy you're in junior high school. Next step up is high school. And it's just going to get a little worse out from there. So the thought being that let's walk you into this right now before it gets a little too late for you to understand and you might make your own mistakes along the way. Nicely done, Naomi. Thank you. All right, what you got next?
All right, Kel, I put your
Hold
phone
on to that
back.
Hold on, I'm going to feed the bloody cat because she drives me nuts. Go ahead and start it.
Okay,
Kel, go ahead and give your poem a read.
Okay. Fast Track by Kel Smiles. Fading to black, driving over the slick tarmac, flickering needles hit 100, lightning strikes, end of a tunnel. Safe bet, no worn-out seatbelts, you're on a fast track, a fast track. Better slow down before light passes you by. Slow down, slow down. Rocks blasting through the speakers. Air-conditioned luxury brakes. Wide open windows cranked, rushing wind blowing through. You're on a fast track, a fast track. Better slow down before life passes you by. Slow down, slow down. Blinker set up to make a turn. Freed from tunnel into thunder. Pouring rain onto the freeway. Slow, slow. Ahead, lights yellow. You're on a fast track, a fast track. Better slow down before life passes you by. Slow down, slow down. Barreling, missed a crashed burn. Red, blue, white flashes. Storming trooper rushes past. Headlight shine, massive crash. Getting off the fast track of life. You're on a fast track of the fast track. Better slow down before life passes you by. Slow down, slow down. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you got?
Yeah, I remember this one. This was definitely a good one. It had a very intense feel to it in the way it read and the repetitiveness of a fast track, a fast track. And then the imagery of the headlight shine, the massive crash, getting off the fast track of life, and the whole idea that there's only one of two ways people oftentimes get off the fast track, and that is through miracles or death, and the fact that this became all about that end of the road, that tragedy that far too often happens. Just really a strong emotive write, and it's one of those where the repetitive diffs definitely adds to the strength of the light. To the right, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the line where it says about the blinker set up to make a turn. So that was another line that really stood out to me. Blinker set up to make a turn, freed from tunnel into thunder. Great lines there, Kel, and very well done.
Well, that damn thing. Well, it's going back, 6 months or so, isn't it? Is it about that long?
5 months?
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Had a lot of fun with the Chuck Berry piece, especially if I think I threw Dingling was in there as one of them. So we had a bit of fun with that, yes. But this rolls so much on off of Johnny B. Goode, but into Chuck's life and how things kind of set up for the long haul with good things, good vibrations happening. And then the kind of little crash in the middle there and maybe a little bit of an uptick as well. And then kind of just almost a flame out near the back end of the back end of his life. So you hit everything that walked within, plus hinting at the troubles that drew him along that very fast track as well. Yeah, those red, blue, red, white flashes. Yes, storming troopers are not a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys. It's the only one I could think of. Just throw something up, right? Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Where are we at?
5 minutes, and I can share one short poem. So what do you want to do, Rex?
I thought you said you were reading one.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry, I wasn't sure. Okay, now, this isn't inspired by a song. I'll just blatantly admit that, but it is one that's short and sweet, and I thought Kel would get a kick out of it. So this is Fruit in the Mail, and it goes like this. To show you that I love you, I sent an apple in the mail. You said that I was crazy, so I sent an orange, then a plum tomato. You said you're strange and hazy. I sent you grapes in bunches. You said when it comes to romance, I lack in spot-on hunches. I sent you a sweet, a peach, sweet and juicy. You said I was a wee bit strange, a lunatic old goosey. I sent you berries black and blue, parcel by parcel, one by one. You picked up each package at your front door, and I sent you more and more. Bananas, kumquats, nectarines, single file arrived on scene. Plums and truffles, macaroons, each packed alone to make you swoon. You suggested a basket I should find for all my fruitful wooing. I said, everyone sends fruit in baskets, and I'm not like those blasé basket bringers, because, darling, I'm a one-fruit gal who refuses to be boring. End poem.
Hey, read that. All right, I hear you laughing over there, Kel. Go ahead.
Oh, God, you want my address? You can send me fruit one by one. I don't care.
Thanks, Kel.
Oh, golly, really. It's funny. It's cinematic in a way, because it's all the colors of all the fruits coming one by one by one. It's just amazing. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. It's fun. It's a very fun piece. And you could definitely never be bored.
I guess I'll have to go along with cereal. It's Fruit Loopy and definitely Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the best I could think of. It kind of fits. Especially since you dropped the crazy shit in there to begin with.
Well,
yeah, I'm crazy. And who sends kumquats? That's some nasty things.
Well, I guess the same for, you know, I guess I want to make
I know
sure
technically,
all fruits are covered.
Tomatoes are fruits, but nobody's going to look at it as a fruit when it comes in between all the other fruits.
That is very true, but technically it is a fruit.
I mean,
you
could have gone with a blood orange. Now, that would have been nice. Or a kiwi.
Oh, blood oranges are yummy.
Oh, they are.
Yes, they are.
Yes,
it's that
they
time
are.
Of year, right now.
Well, you know, there's, honest to goodness, Rex, there's about 50 different other fruits I could have gone with. But honestly, as silly as this poem was,
the
mango,
papaya.
You know what I think Rex is telling us? Hell, I think he's saying he wishes the poem was a little longer. Don't worry, Rex. I'll send you my cantaloupe.
I gave it just the right sense of humor to it. You know, throw it in that little kumquat. You know, come on. It's cute.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rex. And the great show tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Kel. Thank you, Pam. Leonard, hope to hear from you again as well. Nice stopping for a minute. And next week is Imagine Dragons. Imagine Darby Dragons. So that's on the board. Have
awesome.
Fun with it.
Awesome.
I got seven on the board, so
show.
But if there's anything else that picks you like, have a bit of fun with it.
Definitely.
All right, gang. We'll see you next Sunday for the Rhythm and Rhyme. And, don't forget, Victoria, Arts of LMP at 12:30.